Hi, welcome to Wake Up, the Truth About Alexa. I'm Lauren Johnson, founder of Alexa is a Human. On this podcast, you will hear true personal stories from people worldwide sharing the impact that Alexa as a wake word has had on them. You will hear expert opinions in fields such as technology, education, psychology, and more. We will dive into corporate ethics and responsibility, name bombardment, and how Amazon's choice to use a human name as a wake word is causing young children, teens, and women to experience severe bullying, sexual harassment, suicidal ideation, name changes, anxiety, therapy, identity erasure, and more. Thanks for joining us. Welcome to today's episode 3. We have Julie Daniel Davis here joining us, and I am so excited to have Julie on because she is an expert in her field. She is a leader in the voice world in education. So thank you for being on, Julie.
It's such a pleasure to be with you today.
I was lucky enough to not only meet Julie last year, pre-COVID, at the Project Voice conference, so we were able to meet in person, and I was lucky enough to attend one of her talks. So I was able to see her in action and see what it is, the value that she provides in her passion behind voice and education. And we even, as the audience, got to see some of her students and the foreign exchange students there and the value it provides to them. So Julie, I will let you introduce yourself a little bit about, you know, who you are, what you do, and what your passion is.
Right. Well, it's great to be with you. As I said before, my name is Julie Daniel Davis, and I'm currently an adjunct faculty member at UT Chattanooga, where I teach current teachers, future teachers, and computer scientists about educational technology. So my role over the years has changed tremendously as mobile technology has come into existence, as you can very well assume. In my previous role, I was the Director of Instructional Technology and Innovation at a K-12 school. In that role, one of the things that I always wanted to keep an eye on was emerging technology and how it might impact education, either for good or bad. So in this situation, I really saw a value of using voice technology to meet some needs that maybe weren't currently being met, or that could be met in a way that met the student exactly where they were. So you mentioned my foreign exchange students. In that situation, they were really struggling with a certain course, which was a wellness course, and they were learning the parts of the body. And it was just so hard because they were all of Asian descent, and remembering the names of the body parts was super difficult for them. So we just So we just created study guides that kind of just let them drill that into their head before each test. And what we found was, as a byproduct, is that the device really helped them also in their pronunciation of English words, because they would say it and they would say, well, that was right, but the device wouldn't hear them correctly. And so there was a learning thing there happening that really helped them on a lot of different levels. And it became something for them where they realized they could kind of practice their English words with this device. So, that being said, it was a really, really cool event for us. That being said, the door opened because I started putting these devices in classrooms, and people all over the world were reaching out to me and saying, hey, how do I do this in a safe way? Because I'm huge on student privacy, as you know, by attending Project Voice. And so, you know, there's a lot of things you've got to turn off. There's a lot of things you've got to do and remember in order to use these wisely, because with any emerging technology, there comes lots of little things that weren't expected, as you very well know.
Yep. So what's your passion behind it? What do you love about it?
Yeah. So there's several things. First of all, it's the price point. I can put in the middle of the classroom for less than $100 a device that meets every single student in the classroom, as opposed to putting iPads or Chromebooks in the classroom, and maybe I can get 2 to 3 kids around that. But this device allows everyone to have access at one time. And for districts that don't have a lot of money, for teachers who are paying out of their own pocket, it gives them an opportunity that they didn't have before. The other thing is the communal aspect of it. So one of the things I love about it is a teacher is maybe standing in the front of the room lecturing, and she talks about the ubiquitousness of technology. And all of a sudden, all these faces are kind of like, what? What is that? And so some kid raises their hand and says, Miss Davis, what does ubiquitous mean? Well, instead of someone looking it up or us all going looking at our devices, which means I've lost their eye contact, we can look over, ask the device, what does ubiquitous mean? We've got an answer, and we've never lost that communication, that instructional time. It allows that type of thing to happen. And it just gives the teacher another voice in the classroom, especially for non-readers. To put it in the back of the classroom in a station rotation setting where maybe the teacher's in the front working with a math lesson, over to the right, they're doing math manipulatives, and to the left, perhaps they're using a skill on that device that's helping them with the lesson that they just learned earlier. So it just gives another little added benefit. It's never going to replace the teacher. It's just another support to the classroom. And we're always looking for supports in the classroom.
Yes, absolutely. I know. And especially this last year and a half. I mean, yes. Wow. Were you fully remote, or were you in the classroom? How did it work for you this last year or so?
Yeah, starting in March, we went completely remote. So from March to May, we were 100%. Fortunately, the school system I was in, they were ready. I mean, they didn't know they were ready, but they were more ready than a lot of school systems. And so it wasn't a hard transition for us to move to that environment. And then starting in August, I wasn't there anymore, but it was part remote, part hybrid, part face-to-face. So it's just been a very interesting trial for all educators everywhere.
Yes. Yes. I mean, you know, I watch my own kids, same thing. They went from fully remote to hybrid, and now they're back mostly in person. And it's been a struggle. So I give credit to every educator out there this last year and a half. Not that I didn't beforehand, right, but this was just extra difficult.
Yeah. And, you know, one of the things that I've seen that the devices really come in handy on is a lot of teachers have created flash briefings. So what that is just a 10-minute or less. Think of it like a news snippet. So my podcast is actually a flash briefing. So it's 10 minutes or less. And you can just ask that device, play Miss Davis's flash briefing, or what's my flash briefing? And I could tell you today, you're going to need this book, this book, this book. Don't forget, you're going to need that. Families, don't forget picture day on Friday. And it's just that communication with families and for that purpose of staying connected, which was really hard during the pandemic.
That's amazing. I haven't seen that myself personally, but that sounds phenomenal. That would have been really helpful of the 1900 emails that we were getting from different places. So yeah, that would have been great. So when it comes to, you know, as you know, this podcast is about the Wake Word Alexa for these devices. And so tell me what your opinion is on using the Wake Word Alexa versus Amazon. I know that Echo can be a name as well. So maybe Amazon or computer or something. Do you think personally it makes a difference to have a human name versus an object? Or, you know, as far as your kids understanding, would it make a difference? What are your thoughts?
So, you know, in the beginning, it was not on my radar that this was going to be an issue. And I think that's fair to say pretty much for Amazon themselves, for everyone, that we didn't know that it was going to be an issue. So when I set them up in the classroom in the beginning, I totally was using the wake word that it came with, the default wake word, which is Alexa. So that being said, once I started realizing that this was causing A, bullying, B, confusion, and C, just, we are humanizing a device here. I started asking teachers, and teachers that reached out to me, I would say, well, you know, I would make them aware of the issues. And then I would suggest, you know, don't use the human wake word. Use either Echo, Amazon, or computer. Obviously, people like me who were, I was teaching computer classes, I had a student named Alexa and a student named Echo, you know, you start going down the list and go, which one of these can I use? But we used Amazon, you know, that. So, so one of the things that has become important to me is just to make people aware that this is an issue. It's out there and it's real and it's impacting people in a way that obviously no one knew it was going to happen. I think any educator worth their salt, if they're not meeting possibilities of bullying head on, they are not worth being called an educator, because this is an important thing in any aspect. I mean, I've in the many years that I have been teaching, I've taught a Britney Spears when the Britney Spears was off the rails. I've taught a Charlie Brown. You know, I've taught Jesus's. And there is always that opportunity for students to tease to the point of where the student feels bullied by it. So that's one of the things that I would say I've learned in the midst of this as well.
Yeah, and you're not alone. And like you said, you know, there really isn't blame placed on Amazon for naming this device and Amazon Lab 126 that was originally part of naming this. Because I don't think anyone, to your point, anticipated this becoming so huge. At this point, you know, if Amazon is aware, you know, perhaps we need to think about some corporate responsibility and some ethics there, because that's what is causing the impact of bullying, harassment. And unfortunately, we're dealing with sexual harassment, teens in therapy, suicidal ideation. I mean, there's the list goes on to workplace harassment, because the difference in, so my name's Lauren, and I got, you know, teased a lot as a kid because it was a new name in the 80s and, well, at least new to my area. And so, you know, lots of people called me Larry or Lawrence and called it a boy's name. And lots of people made fun of the Ralph Lauren. And, you know, I have brothers, so I got teased all the time. And so, you know, that, I mean, that is one thing. But then when you take it to this giant multi-million or probably billion-dollar company, one of the most powerful companies in the world, it just becomes more of an issue of name bombardment and ethics. And the bullying and harassment are really just, unfortunately, a part of that. And so I think for educators, it would be nearly impossible without, this is my opinion, but without replacing the wake word from Amazon as the default, it's near impossible, because as you know, as an educator, and I've seen, you know, my kids go through this, but the bullying doesn't really happen in the classroom. It happens at recess. It happens on the bus. It happens in the cafeteria. It happens when eyes aren't on them. And so, you know, it's not just that, but then it's outside when you go to a Target or a Walmart and boom, the device is there and someone's playing in the technology aisle and here it is coming at you, or it's the commercial on TV or a kid in their friend's car, you know, just the list goes on. So that's more of the issue. But I guess whole picture, what would you say to either educators or to the public in general about the wake word? And is it possible to do the incredible work that you're doing? Because I don't want to take one thing away from the value that voice technology provides. But is it possible in your opinion? And what would you say to people?
Possible to change the dynamics of that? Is that your question?
To omit Alexa as a wake word and to just have something that isn't a human.
Right.
Do you think it's possible to have the same effect? Would it do the same type of work, or would there be a difference?
I think in the overall scheme of things, it has the same impact in terms of what the actual device is doing for people. To me, the only issue is from the side of Amazon, in the fact that they've had major branding. And obviously this wouldn't be an issue if their branding wasn't awesome. You know, I mean, that's the thing, is you're actually picking at the one thing that they can go, we did this well. You know, I mean, the whole world has accepted this. So that being said, would it change the dynamics of what the device was made for? No. None whatsoever. But, you know, I always think about this as there are first level decisions and level two decisions, level one and level two decisions. Level one decisions, it's really hard to change them once they've been made. A level two decision, you make it and then you go, maybe that wasn't the best. I think in Amazon's eyes, what we're looking at is a level one decision. You know, how do we change this at this point? My opinion is, though, there's an opportunity for people like myself to help make an awareness to change the attitude, the name for those who are willing to listen to, you know, what's being said here. And so, because I do know it's not going to change the outcome one bit in what, I set one up in my elderly parents' house, and my father I set it up in the beginning, it was called Alexa, but every single time, because I'm trying to get him used to it and using it because he's the beginning of Alzheimer's, and I'm thinking this has value for him later. But every single time it was Alexia, like he could not even grab the name. So we changed his to computer, you know. So that being said, it doesn't change the value. It doesn't change what it can do. So no, I think there's that could be done for sure. But I think part of that issue's way above mine and your knowledge base or pay scale or whatever you want to call it.
Yes. Yeah. This has turned into my second job. Right. Yes. With a lot of help from a lot of people. Sure. So yeah, absolutely. This is an uphill battle. And like we said, I always say this technology is amazing. It truly is. I have young children. I can see benefiting from this. And not only for them, but for myself for certain things. So I definitely do understand. And I commend you for the work you're doing because it's innovative. It's different. People are really benefiting from it. So you should be so proud of the work that you're doing. And then I guess the only other question I typically ask people if their name isn't Alexa. So I usually ask people to put yourself in our shoes. So if you have a child, a son, I don't know if you have a son or a daughter. And I know you recently had a grandchild. Congratulations. So if it were your son or daughter's name or your grandchild's, what would you do? What advice would you give? And, you know, what are your thoughts on that? If you kind of bring it home to a level of, ooh, it's that.
So this is kind of one of the reasons I think I take this really seriously is because I actually have a donut shop named after me. Our family owns a donut shop, Julie Darling Donuts. And when we opened it, I was an educator. My husband decided to name it after me. And in the beginning, it was a pain in the butt. I taught 400 students, and almost daily, when we first opened, I answered more questions about donuts than I did about what I was teaching. And so I get it. Like, I get the fact that your name being branded as something has an impact on you. In this case, even a more negative impact than having a donut shop named after you. So one of the things I would say, which probably isn't helpful in this moment, is hang in there. There will be a time and a place where the novelty of the name will wear off. I do believe that. I think of the Chatty Cathy dolls of the 1950s, 1960s, where we still have the saying, oh, she's a Chatty Cathy. You know, people still say that to this day. Well, that had an impact of Cathy's of that day and era, day and time. Yep. So I do believe while it doesn't solve the issue and I'm not trying to diminish that it is an issue at all, I do believe that the immediate pain of hearing it is going to subside as time goes on. There will be less negative things that you can buy on Amazon or buy, you know, with using the name in a way that's inappropriate. So that would be the first thing I would say. The second thing I would say is if you're a parent, if you're a teacher, take this seriously. This is an opportunity for you to really speak into this space to your own children, to the children that you teach, to talk about, you know, how this impacts those students. And I would even say, have one of those students stand up and tell their story. I mean, there's nothing more important than hearing it directly from the child or the student. If you want to have impact, let their voice be heard in all this as well. So that those are the things that I say are probably the things that stand out the most to me. And I would also say, if you hear it, if you see it, don't let it go. You know, as an adult, speak into that space when you see it happening, when you hear it happening, even if it just seems like good-natured teasing, don't let it go. Make them aware that what may seem like good-natured teasing is not in the heart and the eyes of the person that it's impacting.
I love that. Thank you. I love that. So if people want to find you and your podcast and your website, where can people find you? Tell us a little bit more.
So you can reach me at my website, www.juliedavisedu.com. You can send me an email at juliedavisedu@gmail.com. Pretty much if you type in juliedavisedu, you're going to find me social media. And I would love to tell the story here as much as possible. As you know, Lauren, because we've talked about it multiple times on my podcast, I've mentioned the fact that this is an issue and that educators need to be aware of it. And I appreciate your level-headedness when bringing this forward in a way that really makes people want to respond. You know, it's the way you have approached it doesn't feel divisive. It feels like, hey, how can we come together to solve this issue? And I appreciate your heart for that.
Oh, thank you. Well, that's really how I feel, though. That's the truth. I mean, when I say I appreciate the technology, I do. And, there's no blame being placed. There's no fault here. It's just, how do we come together? How do we fix this? And, because I think for so many people, when you see your name, Alexa, in front of a hashtag or a command, it stings. It stings every time you see it visually, every time you hear it. It's like this, it stings, and especially for a parent. So if I can be a part of taking that away for people, if I can help these teens that are in therapy, and, like I say, always say, it started off for my daughter, and now not the it isn't still about her, but maybe that's 10%. And it's really the weight on my shoulders of all these other people that have been affected. Right. So whatever we can do to help, and, right back at you, I appreciate, your candidness and your willingness to come on, because this is a tricky subject when you're working in both worlds. So thank you so very, very much for coming on.
You're welcome. My pleasure.